attention, please. This is Joanne Wilson, and I would like to welcome you to our sixth Back to Basics seminar. And I love that all of you folks are taking your evening tonight because you want to build and have a very active chapter in your location, in your state. And so thank you for being here tonight. To start us off, is that humming coming from me?
Yes.
What do I do? Let me try a different mic.
Yeah, Will's doing that one. I don't know.
Let's try this mic. Is that better? Okay. All righty.
It's still there, though.
It's still there?
Yeah.
Will, Seth?
Will, Seth.
All you techies know what's going on, huh? Okay. Away from the speaker? That's not helping.
We're all turned down too, man.
I turned my mics off.
Turned it off?
Yeah.
All right.
This is a table mic, too. I'm not even using the... Dr. Morrow, is it the mic you're holding, maybe? You don't have a mic?
There you go.
All right, okay. All right, the Federation magic's going to work. We're going to get this underway. Okay, so I do want to welcome you and hope that you all have a great evening. The theme of this Back to Basics is going to be our philosophy and how our philosophy, the National Federation of Philosophy, the greatest gift the Federation can give us is that philosophy, can be taught and you can pass it on through activities in your chapter. So throughout the evening, you're going to hear different ways and unusual ways in some cases on how you can teach your philosophy, our philosophy, to your members. And to start out this evening, we are honored to have our national president, Dr. Mark Maurer, who is probably our main advocate and speaker of our philosophy, the man who enlightens us every year with wonderful speeches and who lives our philosophy and makes it possible for our whole organization to keep going so it's there for you and I. So here's Dr. Maurer.
Okay. Got to figure out how to run this thing. Joanne, all that noise earlier, that's just your electric personality, you know? Had to be a reason. Now, our philosophy. I appreciate the fact that we're talking about our philosophy. Our philosophy is among the most important things we've got. But it's not first. It's second in importance in the Federation. What's first? The folks who make up the Federation, the ones whose lives inspire the philosophy, the ones whose lives determine what the philosophy will be. Chapters. It's more important for us to have chapters than to have anything else. Because unless we find a way to make it better for individual people throughout our organization, unless we find a way to get the experiences of the daily lives that blind people have into the idea of what we want done in our Federation, unless we find a way to make the individual daily experiences and lives of our own folks better than they were last year, we're not doing the job we want done. And I know we're going to do it. So the first thing is our membership, and then we get to our philosophy. Our philosophy is important. It says we belong. It says we're a part. It says we deserve to be there. It says you can't keep us out. And if you try, we're going to take action to learn you something. But the way we do it is with our members. Yes, we hire lawyers. Lots of them are blind. And they're all good lawyers. And yes, we hire people to help us with our public relations. Yes, we hire folks to figure out how to make videos. And yes, we hire people to distribute information about us. And we're glad when they're good folk. But when we do all of this stuff ourselves, it gets done better. It has a personal element. We live it, we breathe it. We incorporate it into our lives. Our membership is the most important thing we've got. And our philosophy inspires our membership, and our membership inspires our philosophy. You can't have the one without the other. Now, our convention, this convention, we come together. We plan at our convention. In our Constitution, we have a line which says that the convention is the supreme authority of the Federation. Nothing can tell the convention what to do. The convention tells everybody else what to do. And we are the convention. We're going to tell a lot of people this week what to do. And when we get done telling them, some of them are going to pay attention. And some of them are going to think, just a bunch of blind people, you know. What can they do to us? Let's find out. We'll see what we can do about that. We've been trying to get the attention of the Amazon company for some years now, and they've been stiff-arming us. And they got this deal worked out that they'd provide 35,000 of these Kindles to the State Department, and they're inaccessible, which is a violation of the law. So I wrote to the Secretary of State, and I said, you better not. And I don't know whether Hillary read the letter, but I know that a whole gang of people that work under her direction read the letter, because I've met it in lots of places since that time. And we're going to make this real. You and I, our members, are going to find a way to tell the State Department and the Amazon company, you can't do it here, and you can't do it now. We intend to be a part. I've got a thing here, and I want to give it to all chapter presidents and all state presidents, because it's at the heart of what we are and what we do. It exemplifies an understanding of building programs and ideas together. It's a little piece of paper, and I've got a package here that's got 10 copies, and I want every president of every chapter to have one. It has on it our Federation Pledge. It has it in print, and it has it in Braille. As I said at the board meeting this morning, I think our Federation Pledge came into being in 1974. We printed it on the back of our membership cards, and Dr. Jernigan read it to the convention. And after I'd been elected for the first time as president of the Federation back in 1986, which is getting to be a while ago now, he said to me, "Do you know this pledge?" I had recited it many times. And I said, he said, "Yeah, I thought so." So I went and I memorized the pledge. And now I don't have to have my fingers on the page in order to know the words. I know them. And some of you know them, many of you do. But some don't, and the new members don't. The ones who come to the Federation later, they don't. But this pledge has a meaning, which is that we intend to work with each other, to support each other, to help make the lives of one another better than they are now. I'm giving a package of 10 copies of the Federation Pledge to each chapter president so that you'll have it when you need it, so that you can memorize it if that's your pleasure, so that you can give it to your new guys when they come, make them feel welcome. It says, "I pledge to participate actively in the effort of the National Federation of the Blind to achieve equality, opportunity, and security for the blind, to support the policies and programs of the Federation, and to abide by its constitution." That's what it says. And what it means is that we're an organization, that we belong to each other, that you're part of me and I'm part of you. If you run into trouble, it's my trouble. If I run into trouble, it's yours. We'll share it. We'll support the burden of it. We'll make it better. We'll find a way to create opportunity that has never existed, because together we are one. We cannot be divided. We are the Federation. We work as a unit. And because of that working together, we have power that none of us could have alone. That's what our pledge means. And I'm giving each of you a package so that others can know the joy and the success of being part of something bigger than any one of us alone. I welcome you to the Back to Basics seminar. Building the Federation is the most joyous work I've ever done, and I welcome you to the work.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer. Okay, thank you, Dr. Maurer. And if all the state, the chapter presidents, or if you're here representing your chapter, if you could raise your hands, we will now go around as our song folks are getting ready here. We will go around and pass out one of these gifts that Dr. Maurer talked about as his thank you gift to all of you for the hard work that you do in keeping the Federation going. Without all of you there, we wouldn't have a National Federation of the Blind. And so this is our little appreciation gift for some of the work that you're doing. And while we're passing those out, we're going to hear from Risky Biz and the Cane Tips. Okay? So let's hear from our folks who are putting our philosophy to music.
Ready?
Go for it.
All right, a lot of you know this song, so it's okay to sing.
I was on NFB.org yesterday. They said they would send me a brand new free white cane. It came in the mail and I opened up the package, put it in my hand and I started to tap it. Tap that free white cane.
Oh yeah.
And tap that on the classroom floor. Tap that when I'm walking out the door. tap that when you're looking for some more. You gotta tap that. You gotta tap that. Free wide, tap that. Tap that when you're getting on a plane. Tap that in a boring rain. Tap that cause there ain't no shade. Tap that. Oh yeah, you gotta tap that. Free wide cane. Free wide cane. Free wide cane.
Thank you. You're going to hear more from this group as the evening goes on. And we're going to teach you how you can do this kind of thing in your chapter meetings. Okay. We're still passing things out, so you guys keep your hands up so we know where to keep passing things to. I'm so glad we're still passing things out. That means we've got lots of folks here and lots of chapter presidents here. So thank you. Okay. But we're going to still move on with our program tonight. And our next speaker is Jerry Whittle. And Jerry Whittle is a Braille instructor at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. He is the state treasurer for the National Federation of the Blind of Louisiana. He is a chapter president of our Monroe chapter in Louisiana. But beyond that, and why I asked him to come tonight, is that Jerry Whittle is a playwright. He writes skits. He writes full-length plays. And in those plays, he has blind actors and actresses, and he teaches our philosophy through these plays. So Jerry's going to talk to you about how you can do some of this things, some of this at your local level. So here's Jerry Whittle.
Okay. Oh boy, okay. I'll be okay. All right, I'm right into this mic like Joanne tried. Can you hear me okay? Okay, I just met John from El Paso. He's a rookie. This year, first year, and he wants to start a chapter in El Paso, and he said, I must be a big shot, I got on a suit. I told him, no, I'm just trying to stay warm. Okay. Yeah. one of the basic ways that I think you can have fun at a chapter meeting is one of the most basic ways is to, in our state affiliate, I play the role of the guy that does Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. What's his name? Regis. Yeah, I play Regis. Yeah. And so we do Who Wants to Be a Federationist? And so we let people put their names in a hat, and we draw it out, the lucky winner, and they get to come up, and I regale them with about 5 questions about the NFB. And if they get it right, they get some chocolate or some award. And they can poll the audience. They can ask somebody from the audience, and we can eliminate a question. And they almost always win it, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And that's the way to kind of build a little fun in the chapter. So if you have somebody that's kind of a ham and likes to get up and do that sort of thing and would be willing to look up some trivia questions, then I think that would be a good way to get some interest built in building the knowledge about the history and that sort of thing. Another way that we do it is through songs. And you just heard a lively song. That will certainly bring some things to the meeting. You could have somebody talk about the history of the songs, perform one of them, teach everybody in the room the song, and then they have a little bit of the history and a little bit of the pride in what we've accomplished over the years that's been revealed through our songs. And the Sligo Singers and others have recordings you can get of a lot of our NFB songs. So that if you have somebody in your chapter that loves to sing and can play the guitar like this young man right over here that played it awfully well, then I think you've got a pretty lively way to get a meeting going and teach people about the history through the songs. Another one is a one-man show. You might find somebody who would be willing to write a skit, or there's some skits available about famous blind people, one about Louis Braille that I wrote, that I performed and recorded, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a way to teach about an individual who's blind, who's a famous person in the Federation, Jacobus Tenbrook, Dr. Jernigan, Dr. Maurer, Dr. Perry, lots of others, Joanne Wilson. I don't know if I could do her voice or not, I think it'd be fun. And by the way, when we did the songs, we always asked Joanne to step out just for a few minutes. She has a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yeah.
So a one-man show would be a way to do it. That would be a simple way. And then, of course, there are skits. Let me go back. Role playing. A lot of times, role playing can be lots of fun. Just something you can do without a script. You can act out something that's happened to the Federation over the years and people in the Federation. One of our favorite ones to do in seminar at the Louisiana Center for the Blind is some of us went over to Shreveport to the state fair, and they wouldn't let us get on the roller coaster. And so we had people in line with us who were sighted. Some of them sighted with us and wanted to let us ride. The carny didn't want us to ride, and there were some that said that we shouldn't ride. And so we acted that out. We got people to play the different roles, and then we showed them a way that they could handle it, and then we discussed what would be different ways you could handle a situation like that. Would you just walk away? Would you fight for your rights? What would you do in that situation? And that makes for an interesting way to teach the philosophy, and also, I'm looking at my notes here behind this microphone, and also teach the philosophy and get people involved who like to act a little bit. And you can always get somebody who's a real hound to be that carny. That's my favorite part. And then skits. We've had a number of skits over the years. We used to do skits for the student division. They were called the Young and the Skilled many years ago. Some of you might have seen those at the Washington Seminar. And we always had this perfect blind girl, Charlotte Fox, who always did the right thing and worked out. I had a lot of fun with that, with the students doing those. And that again, you need a script for those sorts of things. And we've done some skits for parents' division also, showing parents in a role maybe that they might not want to be in with their blind kids and stuff, or something like that, to teach without preaching what would be the right way to go with a child. Of course, the full-length plays require a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of work, about 6 weeks of preparation with a full-length script. That's much more of a commitment, and you really have to have people willing to follow through. It's really worth it. It's a lot of work. Sometimes you lose your temper. Sometimes you wonder why you keep doing it. But by the time it comes across on stage, then you realize it was all worth the pain and grief. And like last night, we were practicing to play at 1 o'clock in the morning on stage in the Stimmons room so we could have kind of like a dress rehearsal. So our guys were up acting last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. They wanted to do it. I didn't want to. They insisted. So I'm proud of them. They got me straight that time. Sometimes I need to be straightened out. We do sell our CDs of 11 of our former plays, and they're available. And I would suggest maybe sometime, if you have a meal at your chapter, that you play one of the plays that's particularly meaningful with the philosophy, and then you can discuss it over a meal and have fun with it. They're all professionally recorded with sound and everything, and we've gotten all the uhs out of it so that it sounds a little better. And we actually take the two performances and kind of sometimes combine them together to get the best scenes for each one, so you don't know that, but now you do. And we've had some musicals. We've done one musical. I'll never do it again, but we did one musical. And it's kind of gratifying. We wrote some songs for the musical, and the Sligo Singers actually recorded some of those songs. I'm shocked, they sound a lot better than we did. The CDs are available at the Louisiana table if you want to get some of those. We also have a Christmas skit that we do every year at our Christmas play. It's about Santa Claus. He loses his sight and he goes down to the Louisiana Center for the Blind for training. And he goes back and does his old job. And we have a lot of singing of the Christmas carols between, so I think you'd enjoy that for your Christmas party. It's not as long as some of our plays. It's just a skit. But it's available at the table. Also, the main thing that all these things teach is teamwork. Our students encourage each other. We sort of recognize how important it is for teamwork, because somebody might forget a line, and I teach the students, try to get them to help each other out, to jump to the next line, ad-lib something in there. And so a lot of times people come to the plays and they don't realize how many times some of the students have forgotten their lines, or I even forgot my lines a couple of times, And so somebody saved my neck up there on stage, and so that's kind of fun. You always remember those kind of things. Once you get off the stage, you remember the things you do all wrong, You don't remember all the fun things you do right. So it's a lot of fun, and we have a lot of people who, when they do the plays, I try to write some of the philosophy in using the actual words of Dr. Maurer, Dr. Jernigan, Dr. Tenbrook. And by them saying those words, they start to believe it. Faith comes by hearing of the word, right? So the same thing, I got an amen over there, all right. I'm going to pass the collection plate in just a minute, faith does come by the hearing of the word, and the same thing's true of the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. If they have to memorize those lines and they keep saying them, And I'm always astounded at some of the students in seminars and stuff. They'll start saying some of those phrases, and I'm going, wow, you know. They've actually got that. They've incorporated that, and it's become part of their life. And so that's a very important part. The main thing I try to do when we do a blind person is to put them in the role of the opposite of the way you usually see them in movies or on television. They're smart, they're cute, they're desirable, they're ambitious, they're pretty, they're witty. And the people who have the bad attitudes, I try to put them in a light where you can see the bad attitudes and recognize that the blind person's got it together and the people who have the bad attitudes don't have it together without preaching it, it's a way of teaching it without preaching it, I think, and that's important. Sometimes if you tell a parent, you must stop doing this, yak, 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 you turn them off. But if they see it on stage where the blind child might need this or that and the parent's kind of stopping that, then they'll see a little bit of themselves and change their attitudes. And that's a way of doing it in a kind and loving way as opposed to beating them over the head with it all the time. Sometimes we might beat people over the head too much with our philosophy and turn them off. So this is, I got another amen right there. Okay. I'm going to pass the collection plate just a second. So you want to make sure that we are courteous and kind to people. And this is a kind and courteous way to do it and to have fun doing it and laugh at ourselves and be able to recognize that, hey, I was like that 20 years ago, but I'm glad I'm learning and not quite as bad as I used to be. Those kind of things. Okay, so that's why we do the plays, and I hope you will think about skits or role-playing or those kind of things to make the meeting a lot more lively and a lot more fun. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with the play. Jerry is off right now because the Louisiana Center for the Blind Players are getting ready to do a play right now at 7 o'clock, so he's off to direct that. This year's play is going to be about the story of Dr. Blatt. And so good luck, Jerry, with the play. And thank you. Jerry also has been very instrumental in the fact that almost all the actors and actresses in the plays and in the skits are blind people. And so sometimes blind people don't believe that they can be actors and actresses, nor can the sighted public that watch these plays. And so it's another way of showing us as blind people and improving our skills and our confidence in what we can do by getting up there and being actors and actresses, and for the public then to see blind people acting in plays and skits and doing the normal kind of things that they themselves do. And so it's another way of teaching our philosophy. So right now, we're going to have Rosie Carranza here and Jessica Yule, and we are going to have you guys learn about some other ways that you can take part in skits. So here we go, Rosie.
Okay. If you are an actor or an actress, say I.
I.
Oh, then all of you will be saying I by the time this is over. So what we are going to do is each table is going to be assigned a scenario. And think about this. This is an activity that you can bring back to your chapters. And again, as Joanne mentioned earlier, we have a theme of philosophy for this session. So this activity will address philosophy from different angles. On a personal level, how it is that we as blind people develop our own attitudes about blindness. We'll have some situations that involve our chapter's philosophy and how our chapter deals with situations regarding our blindness. And then we also have some situations where we think on a larger scale, like civil rights, how the NFB as an organization, how we approach our philosophy. So what we're going to do is Jessica is going to go through the scenarios, and we'll assign the tables a different scenario. We have 7 different scenarios, and then we're using 3 of our NFB press releases as well to do this activity. Once everybody has a scenario, then you will have some time to discuss how you would actually put this together as a chapter activity, and you'll have a few moments to see if you can put together a quick little skit within your table, okay? So Jessica, do you have the first one?
I do. All right.
Okay, 1 second. We're getting everything ready to go.
There's no place to post. Okay, we'll figure out. Okay, all right, guys. You are strolling in the mall,
when you hear a voice say, "What's that stick for?" your group should act out a response to this situation. That's scenario number one.
Okay, so let me go ahead. So this table right here, you guys get that one, and this table up here, you get that one as well, okay?
Number two, you and your chapter are going to a football game as part of a Meet the Blind Month activity. Your group is offered preferred disability seating based on blindness.
Woo!
A few of the chapter members are delighted at the offer. Others seem not to care either way. As chapter president, what would you do in this situation? Chapter elections are coming up the following month, and you don't want to start any trouble. Your group should act out this situation and demonstrate how the issue will be resolved.
And this table, you guys get that one too. Okay. Okay. All right, go for it, Jessica.
Number three. After a chapter meeting, you and several chapter members dash out to dinner at one of the premier restaurants in your town. As you file into the building, an employee says, "Oh, we can't allow that guide dog to come in." What do you do? Your group should act out a resolution to the situation.
Okay, you all get that one too, okay? Okay, go for it, Jessica.
Number four, you were at a chapter meeting, and a newcomer asks, "What is the difference between the NFB and the ACB? Both organizations have a lot to offer, and I enjoy attending both meetings." Your group should come up with a response to this situation and be prepared to share your ideas.
So you guys get that one, and you get that one also, okay? Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay, go for it, Jessica.
You are standing at a busy intersection, and a voice says, "Let me help you cross the street. It is very dangerous." Act out two different ways you can handle this situation.
Okay, go for it, Jessica.
Your affiliate president has just handed you 50 raffle tickets for you to sell. The winner of the raffle will get a trip to next year's state convention. Your job is to sell these tickets out in your community, not just to other NFB members. How would you go about selling the tickets? What would you say?
Okay, go for it, Jessica.
Make a list of five ways you can use a Jerry Whittle play at your chapter meeting.
Okay, all right, go for it. Okay. Okay, Jessica?
All right, now we come to the press releases.
Okay.
The first one involves, and I'm just going to summarize these just for the sake of brevity.
You can just read the title if you'd like, maybe just the basic.
National Federation of the Blind supports blind machinist in employment discrimination suit against railroad. So the Santa Fe Railroad has fired a machinist due to blindness, claiming that he's putting other people at risk because of his blindness with no evidence whatsoever.
Okay, one more scenario.
Okay, the other one is National Federation of the Blind successful in returning infant to her parents. About the hospital taking away an infant because her parents are blind, claiming that they can't take care of her, and finally getting the courts to rule that the baby should go home to her parents.
Okay, so those are the different scenarios and situations that your table will deal with. So think about, again, how you would carry this out in your local chapter. And you have about 5 minutes or so to see if you can put together a quick role-playing activity that would demonstrate what you would do. So go for it. And I'll be floating around if you have any questions. My name is Rosie.
Thank you.
Or why don't we do it?
Oh, yeah, with the mall. Yeah, okay, we can do that one. Gotcha. All right. Yeah, walking through the mall and somebody grab and say, what's that stick? What's that? Okay, yeah.
Are you keeping track of time? Because I was not.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm going to give them about a 3-minute warning.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you give them a 3-minute warning?
Okay. Right. Okay, three more minutes. 3 more minutes to come up with your plan. 3 more minutes. If you think your group would like to perform, let me know. If your group would like to perform, let me know.
Yes, oh, that was so good. It was so good. Yeah, it was really cute. And I liked the reading in between that. The reading in between there was a wise thing. That was good.
Thank you.
catch it? Okay, we have one group that I think just needs a little bit of time and they should be ready to ask me now.
Okay.
Kimberly Flores, come to the front, please. Kimberly?
Over here, at the front. Yes. Enjoyed this activity and that you've gotten some ideas on how you can incorporate it on the local level. We've had a few volunteers to just give us a little taste of what they came up with. So I'm going to go ahead and turn over the mic to this first table up here in the front, and let's see what they did. Who wants to take it?
Thank you.
Okay, go for it.
She's going to set it up. Oh. Me or her?
Who?
Okay, here you go. Okay. Hello, everyone. All right, table one, we are here, and the situation is this. We are walking in the mall, and different people are stopping us and inquiring about our canes, but they're, of course, not calling it the right thing. They're calling it a stick. So we're going to defend that, and we're going to educate them why it's not a stick, but it's a cane. Thank you.
Hey lady, what is that?
Well, this is my cane, and if you're wondering why I have it, little girl. I'm a blind lady, and I don't see very well, and my cane helps me find out what's in front of me so I don't fall down. And we're walking.
Okay. Hold up. What is that I see?
What is that? Lady, what are you doing? Why are you tapping on that ground so hard? Are you dividing for water? You're looking for water? What is it? What are you doing? What is that strange looking stick you have, and why do you have it?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you're tapping my toes. Why are you doing that?
I'm just looking at your shoes.
Oh.
Nice.
Thank you. But why do you have that strange looking stick in your hand? Why do you have that stick?
Well, I'm blind, and this is not a stick, actually. This is my cane. They call it a cane.
Uh-huh.
And I use this so that I can tell where I'm going and tell what's around me, and I don't run into it and fall down the stairs.
Cool beans. I like that.
All right, let's give table one a round of applause.
Thank you, all you actors and actresses. I wish we had time to hear all of your skits, but you know how to do it now, and this was an opportunity for practice it so that you can take this home and do similar activities. So congratulations to all of you. Okay, our next a possible activity that you can do to pass on our philosophy and our belief and what the National Federation is all about is going to be presented by Kimberly Flores. And Kimberly is our state president here in Texas. And so we want to welcome her, and she's going to tell us about a wonderful project they've done here in Texas that you could probably do in your state too. Kimberly?
All right. Thank you. Okay. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, how much is a picture worth accompanied by the animated voices of children, their laughter, their actions, their reactions to NFP programs and mentors? Priceless. In the NFP of Texas, we chanced upon a great opportunity. I met a University of Texas student while networking at the Blind Cafe in Austin. I found that she was a journalism student minoring in English. I thought these were great and handy qualities and interests. I did a favor for her, a quick interview after the evening event, so she could complete an assignment, and I asked her if she was interested in picking up some extra cash. I'm always looking for readers, you see. And a good background in editing and English is a plus. Additionally, she mentioned an interest in video and photography, and we often need pictures taken for our mentoring activities. We exchanged info, and I followed up. We got together a few times, and her name is Priscilla, by the way. She proved to be dependable and thorough, and she was interested in our NFP work. My husband, Richie, y'all might know him as Risky, Risky Biz, he got in a little bit of a pinch one day, and I asked Priscilla if she wanted some extra work, and so she ended up working with Richie too a little bit. She asked us a lot of questions about blindness, and slowly, like a little cartoon bubble, an idea took form. Richie wanted a video of our Austin Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning program, BEL. Priscilla had access to equipment through the University of Texas. She was available during the summer to film during the two-week program. She had proven to us that she had a good grasp of our philosophy. This was really important to us, because if she had a different perception than ours, that may have leaked into the video. The children could have been cast in a kind of pitying or overly inspirational light. The final advantage was that Priscilla was affordable. She was a junior in college at the time, so she had some experience, but she wasn't a hotshot professional. She was excited about the project, but she was not someone who was not willing to take feedback. We did not script the children or the mentors. As they say, out of the mouth of babes, what the students said and did was simple, true, and beautiful. We did write a script to explain the components of our programs and our organization, and the narrator read it. There are more professional videos out there, but ours has heart. We have also made a video to highlight our change mentoring program, because our BEL video has been such a great outreach tool for us. And now, I'd really like, and hope, to share it with you.
Let's try it.
Everyone, cross your fingers. We have it closed captioned, which we thought would be an interesting touch.
Tell them it took longer to get it to play than to do the video. Tell them that.
Making the video was really not a problem. Figuring out how to show you the video has been a labor of love. It took about 17 people. We have it on our NFP of Texas website. Stand by. Hold on.
I'm Kimberly Flores, the current president of the National Federation of the Blind. Braille opens every door there is for a blind person. It's literacy. It leads to employment. It leads to access to everything in the community that we value.
The National Federation of the Blind is the oldest and largest organization of blind people in the country. The NFB provides a vehicle for collective action and pioneers innovative educational programs and important research through its Jernigan Institute on Blindness in Baltimore, Maryland. The National Federation of the Blind of Texas, an active affiliate of the national organization, recently had the pleasure of hosting one such program titled the Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning, or BEL, Summer Camp for Blind Children.
The younger that we can reach them and help them to understand that blindness is nothing to be ashamed of. Blindness is just a characteristic, and it really shouldn't prevent you from achieving any of your hopes or your dreams, and it shouldn't prevent you from participating in school, for trying for things like student council, for trying to excel in academics. The sooner we can help them to understand those important things and to have a positive attitude about their blindness, the sooner and more fulfilling their lives can be.
Daniel, do you know what you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm a train engineer.
A train engineer?
If I get Celtic Speaker Brian Doyle right in Jockwatch, he'll be blind, I can't.
Daniel is one of the many children who attended Bell Camp. The NFB in Texas hopes by putting on these camps, we can help counter the Braille literacy crisis, showing blind children like Daniel they are just as capable as their sighted counterparts.
He's not going to have enough vision to always access the print that he needs from Earth. He's going to have experience with visual fatigue, and rather than shorten his workloads, being a Braille reader, he will actually be able to keep up and do the same work that his friends are doing.
Focusing on Braille and blindness skills, Bell Camp lessons emphasize Braille reading, writing, non-visual learning, and adjustment. Instructors not only know how to teach these skills, but use them regularly.
Myself personally, as a person who is blind, think that it's important for people to know Braille because then they have literacy, and we all know that through literacy, you know, your world opens up, you can get a job, you can live your life, do what other people do, what sighted people do.
The NFB has always said that Braille is beautiful, and the people who use Braille are a part of that beauty.
Perfect!
Bell Camp begins with morning announcements where the group gathers to discuss the schedule for the day.
Let's read our class schedules on Newsline.
Followed by a lesson that examines the independent lives of blind people.
I'll give each of you 10 points on
it,
and you have to tell me what it is.
Quarter!
This could be anything from travel, identifying money, or reading the newspaper.
Y'all remember how blind people read the news?
Phones!
Phones? Right.
They get the news on their phone.
On the phone, on the phone.
Hello, I'm Steve Tompkins, and I'm the Newsline Coordinator for Texas. Newsline is a service that brings newspapers, magazines, TV programming, and job listings to the blind. The blind benefit from having access to up-to-the-minute news that's complete.
Let's see, I'm going to call.
Visual and extracurricular class. 20-minute skill-focused classes allow children to practice and improve essential skills in blindness while also introducing students to competent blind role models.
Ty, attending that, give him some, you know, connections to other kids, other individuals who are going through the same thing.
We decided to send Daniel to the Bell Camp because we felt it was important that he have experience around other children that have vision impairments, and we also felt it was important for him to be around some blind mentors to show him what people can do.
My name is Max, and I taught the non-visual class at Bell Camp. 25 more cents to get the action figure. I got involved through the mentoring program. I was able to teach at Bell Camp with my mentor.
I recently became certified with an NCLB, a National Certification in Literary Braille, and I'm a member of the NFB of Texas, and I really like working with kids. I thought it would be a lot of fun for me to be able to give something back to the organization that I belong to and to young blind children.
Make sure we use two hands all the way across, okay?
Once done with classes, students get to have some fun at bell ringing.
That's when everybody kind of thinks about what they learned today and what's a cool thing they did today for the first time or in a long time. And we say it, and we ring a bell, and everybody claps, and then gets really excited about how you were independent today as a blind person.
It's really critical for us to celebrate our achievement.
Braille writing.
A lot of times we feel like we're the only blind people in our schools or in our workplaces or in our churches. So for us to come together with our friends and celebrate these achievements together when we understand uniquely the challenges that we face as blind people, it's something very special.
playtime infused with physical activity.
Let me get your arms out real wide.
I participated in the NFB Bell Camp because I think it's important for all students, even those who are blind, to take an interest in health and exercise. Music.
My name is Laura Poyser, and I'm a violin teacher here in Austin. The arts seems to be a great way for the students to show their ability, and they seem to have a lot of fun. I also was able to learn a little bit more about blindness.
If you touch it, you can feel it vibrate. Feel that vibrate?
And the arts.
Let's do another color here. Let's do blue again.
Okay.
Alright, ready? Yeah. One, two, three. You hear that flat sound?
Yeah.
That's the spluttering sound. That's what we want to hear.
The NFB believes blind children deserve a well-rounded experience, just like their sighted peers receive in school or summer camps. And recreational activities are a part of that.
Brother and sister Bear, who lives with their mama and papa.
After recess each day, a mentor from the community was invited to read a story in Braille. Bell Camp welcomed a lawyer, health specialist, policy analyst, and many more independent and employed Braille readers and leaders from the community.
The boy pub and sister was a girl pub. They were alike in many ways. And even though they each had hobbies,
what are hobbies?
Finally, the kids end each day at Bell Camp by practicing on their Braille writer. Students write their alphabet, what they learned at camp, or short stories for their parents.
I'm ready to put my doll.
Oh, cool.
Okay, that's it.
The National Federation of the Blind firmly believes, based on research and our own collective experience as blind people, Braille is a critical first step to ensure literacy, success, and fulfillment.
Braille means opportunity to me. It means another chance at life. It means returning to life as a person and as a contributing citizen to your community. Braille opens the world to blind people. It teaches us things. It lets us know what is out there in the world. It gives us information. Braille is just almost everything, I think, that is meaningful to a successful person because Braille is literacy. And let's say, what did you learn at Bell Camp today?
I dressed up like a butterfly and it was so fun to trick or treat. And I learned the white cane deer.
Yeah! White cane deer. Okay.
I learned the toaster today.
The toaster today, yay!
I learned how to read Braille.
Oh!
I dressed up as a butterfly.
You dressed up as a butterfly?
I did
Braille Twister.
In our Bell programs, Braille is shared, and students learn that Braille is beautiful. Youth and mentoring programs, please visit www.nfbaustin.org. If you're interested in Newsline and would like to know more about how you can get up-to-the-minute news on your phone, visit www.nfbtx.org/newsline.
Okay, thank you, Kimberly and the Texas affiliate, for that example of another way of teaching our philosophy.